unto the Father, unto the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to read our text this morning. It's coming from the Gospel of St. Luke. Dr. Luke was a medical doctor, if you didn't know that. He was a medical doctor. He was an apostle, yes, but his training was he was a medical doctor. Matthew was a tax collector. Mark was a servant. But Luke was a medical doctor. And that means he was very, very particular in what the Holy Spirit caused him to write when he wrote the Gospel of St. Luke, which is in your Bible. And in your Bible in chapter 15, beginning at verse 11, it says this. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. When that boy had spent all there was, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And that boy went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and that citizen sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have eaten and filled his belly with the husks that the swines eat, because no one gave him any food to eat. But when he came to himself, he started talking to himself. And he said, how many servants of my father have bread enough to eat and spare? And here I am, perishing, hungry. Verse 18, he said, I will arise and I'm going back to my father's house. And I'm going to say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven, against God and you. And Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Father, make me one of your hired servants. And he arose and he started walking back to his father's house. When he was yet many a great ways off, praise God, his father saw him and had compassion on him. And the father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called a son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son who was dead. Before he got saved, he was dead. And now he is alive. When you get saved, then you are alive in God's sight. He was lost. Before he got saved, he was lost. And is now found. When you get saved, you're found. And they began to be merry. I'm not going to talk about that second boy. So you can be seated. But I want to talk about that first boy, that first child, the younger child. The older child is not that great because he was angry with the younger boy. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, a bad child, but a good God. A bad child, but a good God. In the year 2001, there was a commercial on television showing two men camping out in the woods. I guess they were deer hunting. You know about that. They were walking towards their campsite, when these two men saw a grizzly bear looting their camp, and he was eating their food. Both men started running towards the bear, hollering, "Bad bear, bad, bad bear." The bear stopped, raised up on his back legs, and stood 8 to 9 feet tall. The two men realized they had made a serious mistake. They both were frightened to death by the size of that bear. So they started to do what we all do. They started to run for their life. One of the men, while running, he picked up a bottle of honey. He was running, but he stopped to pick up a bottle of honey that was on the ground, and he said, "Honey, honey." Then, to save himself, he took the honey and squirted it on his friend. And the bear started chasing his friend. Later on, after one of the men arrived back at the campsite, a young lady said, "Didn't you have a friend camping with you?" He said, "Yes. And if you look up yonder, way out there in that tree, you'll see him up in that tree. And that bad bear is at the bottom of that tree trying to get to him." Now, we all know about a bad bear. We know what a bad bear is like. But I want to talk to you this morning about a bad boy. A bad boy, who is known in the Bible as the prodigal son. Our text this morning is labeled the prodigal son. The prodigal son. The two sons in this parable are real human beings. Don't you dare read this parable as if it's just a nice little Goldilocks or Three Bear story. Jesus, if you've got a good Bible, it is in red print. That means Jesus told this story. Jesus didn't tell stories just to tell them. He told parables. So this parable is not fictitious. It is nonfiction, meaning it is true. The unnamed earthly father in this story, in this parable, is a picture of God, the Heavenly Father. So when you read chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, whenever you see the word father, think about God the Father. he's talking about God the Father, but he's using an earthly father as an example. The parable of the prodigal son should actually be called the parable of the two lost sons. Both boys were lost. One left home lost, and the other was at home mad lost, mad at the father. If you don't know this story, I'm glad you're here this morning, because before I leave, you'll know this story. There are two boys, and they're living in the same house. Living in the same house, and both of them really could be labeled bad boys. One wanted what he didn't earn from the father, wanted money so he could leave. The other boy was mad because he gave the other boy his inheritance and didn't give him anything. So he stayed home mad. One left home mad, one stayed home mad. It was a mess in that house. There's a mess in a lot of homes today with bad children. Come on, lights. I'm going to get an amen around here somewhere. Jesus told this parable while he was living and walking on this earth over 2,000 years ago. What is a parable? You can't understand this if you don't know what a parable is. What is a parable? This is the parable of the prodigal son. What is a parable? A parable is a true story placed beside a real life event to illustrate a spiritual truth. I'll say it again. A parable is a true story. These two boys were real. Placed beside a real life event to illustrate a spiritual truth. Jesus told this parable to illustrate a spiritual truth in all of our lives. Now, a parable, someone said, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The focus of this parable in God's Word, the Bible, is about a bad child and a good father. A bad child that came to his father and asked for his inheritance. Give me what's mine. And that rascal didn't work for a thing, but saying to his daddy, give me what's mine. But he had a good father that did it. Should have took a stick and run him out of the house. The word prodigal. If you're going to understand God's word, you need to understand what the word prodigal means. The word prodigal means wasteful spender. Wasteful spender. A reckless spender. One who does not use money wisely. This is what this boy that left home was. He was a reckless spender. He didn't use the money that he got from his father wisely. That's why the parable is called the prodigal son. Now, there are five words this morning that you need to jot down about this bad child and this good father, so that you will leave here this morning knowing something about how to raise your children and how bad you were when you were a child. And let me tell you, when I studied and prepared this message, I thought about the times and the times that I probably annoyed my mother. And mama didn't take much mess either. So I am indicted when I preach this. It hits me first, and then I'll give it to you. Now there are 5 words that you need to jot down. We're going to deal with very quickly, then we'll go home. The rebellious son. Rebellion. That boy was rebellious. We're going to talk about number 2, the reckless son. The recklessness of this boy. We're going to talk about the reality of the son. He came to a reality in his experience. And fourthly, we're going to talk about the resolution. He came to a resolve out there in the world. And finally, we're going to talk about the reception, how he was received, this son was received when he came back to the Father. Remember, the Father here depicts God the Father, using an earthly father as an example. Listen at the rebellion. The rebellion of this boy is found in verses, listen, right there in verses 12 and 13, we see a rebellion. Children will rebel. He says to his father, give me the portion that's mine. He hadn't worked for a thing. You know, we work all our lives and build and buy a home and put a little money away, and when we die, we leave it to our children. He wanted his then. Rascal didn't work for a thing. Give me what's mine, and divided, and the father divided the living, and the younger son gathered together all he had and took a journey to a far country and wasted his substance, his money, on righteous living. I say this so that you'll get this. Children have a rebellious nature in them. Amen. That included when I was a child. We all have a rebellion. We talk back to our parents. And nobody, take the halo off your head. We all did it. No halos in here today. From the pulpit to the pew. Children have a nature. You don't have to teach a child to do wrong. It is in us by nature. By nature. So did this boy in this parable. What does the word rebellious or rebellious mean? The word rebellion means one who resists authority. One who resists authority is rebellious. So the first thing I want to tell you is that he rebelled, this boy rebelled against authority. He rebelled against authority. Here's a child who wanted to leave his father's house and rebelled against the authority of the father and demanded what he thought was his. He didn't work for a thing, but he rebelled. He wanted to get out in the world and kick up his heels. Children are rebellious. A lot of children and adults leave home that way. They don't want to listen, do they? Children, they don't want to listen. Don't tell me about them, because I taught high school for 20 years. And I know how they can be. I know how they can be. They don't want discipline. They don't want to listen. And they don't, children don't want anybody telling them what to do. You might as well say amen, I'm going to get it out of you. And we got adults that don't want anybody to tell them what to do. And they're children. And all of them, we got God the Father who looks down on us and he sees us as rebellious children. Rebellious children. The father of this boy in our text, this parable, provided 3 things for this boy in that home. When a child is in a home, He had parental discipline. Parental discipline. He had protection. Parent discipline and protection. And he had provision. He had the parents' rules and regulations that he had to go by. And if you don't have him in the home, you ought to have him in the home. Parents. There's protection in the home. And then there is provisions. I know where I can get something to eat is in the home. God the Father does the same thing. We're in his world. The earth is the Lord. The earth is the Lord's. It belongs to him. And we're in God's, live on God's earth. And on his earth, he provides guidance. 66 books, rules and guidance. Protection, everyday protection, and provision, food, and he provides air. You don't generate any air. God gives us air to breathe. Air to breathe. You walk around like you're doing something. You're going to stand before him one day. God could cut off the air that you breathe right now, and what will happen to you? You'll die. We ought to all be on our knees. When a child leaves home, rejects authority, God says he leaves the protection and the provisions of the home. And that's a bad way for any child to start out, or any adult to start out on life. Thousands of children are in the streets today. That's right, homeless, prostituting. They are on drugs and anything else, fentanyl, rebellious against authority. Some adults listening to me this morning, adults, you can remember when you, like me, were young. We were young and we were at home with our parents. I remember my mother, and she would always tell me, now boy, everything I say to you, you got a word to fit. You didn't talk back to my mother. My daddy left my mother when I was 2 years old. So my mother was a strong woman. And she didn't mind taking her fist. I never went to jail and I was never arrested. But I knew that I had not crossed my mother because she would show me what a right hook would be. She used to tell me, I'm talking about rebellious inner child is in the preacher. My mother used to say, don't, you got a word to fit. I tell you, Bob, the sun's shining. You say, oh, no, Mama, no, the sun is shining. Bob, take the trash. Oh, no, you don't have to take that out. And by that time, Mama would be getting up from the kitchen table. She says, I said, the sun is shining. Oh, no, Mama, the sun ain't shining. And by that time, Mama would be getting a little bit closer to me. She says, I said the sun is shining. Oh, no, Mama. And then, and when I got up off of that kitchen floor, and my eyes were darkened a little around there, and I would get up, she said, Bob, I said the sun is shining. And I said, Mama, it's shining brightly. It's shining brightly. Mama, you got anything I can put on this black eye? When I tell you that the sun is shining, I mean the sun, don't talk back. My mother didn't talk back to your parents. A word to fit. Everything I say, you got a word to fit. Not in my mama's house. This boy was like that in his father's house. He was rebellious. A rebellious child. He was born rebellious as a child, and he needed to be born again by the Spirit of God. The prodigal son was a child who did not listen to his parents, and he enjoyed breaking the rules at home and breaking the law in the streets. That's what a rebellious child does. And we're not to give up on our children. That's not what I'm saying here. My mother didn't give up on me. And I didn't turn out too bad. Secondly, not only was he rebellious against authority, but he was, this boy in our text, he was rebellious against the rules. Every home ought to have rules. There were rules in my house. You're just not coming in at any time of the night. Not while you live with me. Get your stuff and get out. Or you don't tell me that I can't come in your room. Not in my mother's house. You don't have any rooms. You're paying rent. Child telling your parent, this is my room. You ain't bought no room at my mother's house, father's house. Everywhere in this house, I can come and go and search. Can I get an amen here to the Lord today? This boy, this prodigal son, he was against the rules. He rebelled against authority, and he rebelled against the rules of the home. God says, God is my witness this morning. God says every parent ought to have rules and regulations that children should obey and follow. The Bible says clearly, don't you? The Bible says train up a child in the way that he should go. That's in the Bible, Proverbs. Train a child. They don't get it by osmosis automatically. You've got to train a child, and you've got to do it God's way, godly. And children must grow up in godly homes. Children should comply with parental standards in the home. Children should obey their parents. Ephesians 6:1, you know what Ephesians 6:1 says? It says, amen, obey your parents. Then it puts in a preposition. It says, in, that's a prepositional. It says a prepositional phrase, in the Lord. That just as we obey God, children ought to obey their parents. All of us ought to obey God in the Lord. In the Lord. Read Ephesians 6:1. In the Lord. In the Lord. Children should comply with parental standards. You're hearing your child. Children should obey their parents. This boy didn't in our text. He was lost. He was lost. He was in God's house and living on God's earth, but he was lost. A lot of lost children today. A lot of lost grown-ups today. Lost in this world. They don't want to follow God's rules. God has given us 66 books, his rules, his standards for us to live. And the reason we got so much killing and shooting today is because we are not following God's rules. Parents should not abdicate their responsibility. What do you mean by abdicate? Abdicate means to give in, to give over. King Edward abdicated his throne. He gave it up. Parents have given up. Some parents have given up trying to rule train their children. The children do what they want. The children tell the parents what to do. Didn't happen in my house. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve. We shall serve the Lord. Your house ought to be a place where you serve God, and God is first. God is first. When children start setting the standards of the home, then parents begin to live a life like a bumblebee on a yo-yo. When children start telling parents what to do, something is wrong. Arguing and fights and anything goes. Today in our homes, parents have lost control because God is not in it. God is not in it. They've lost control, and their children make their own rules and set their own standards, and they do as they please. Jesus told this parable about the prodigal son and how this boy in this text decided to make his own rules and rebel against his father. Children are ruined and children are destroyed because parents don't have godly standards in the home. The rebellious boy, rebellious against authority and rebellious against rules. But then this brings me to my second number is he was reckless. Number two, he was a reckless son. The reckless son. We see that in verse 13. Listen, and it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all and took his journey into a far country. He wasted his money and lived riotous living. I'm going to deal with that in a minute. He was reckless with his money. Money that wasn't even his. It was given to him as an inheritance. He moved from rebellion to recklessness. Living reckless life. He blew his opportunity to grow up in a home with his father. Missed opportunity. Someone has said opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and look like work. Some children don't want to work. They miss the opportunity because they don't want to work. They want you to give me. Remember this boy said, Father, give me. Give me. But I'm going to tell you, when we get to the end of this story, he says, Father, make me. He left home, give me, give me. He came back, make me a servant. I'm no good. I'm a no good son. You see what happened? He's going to get saved out there in the pig pen trail. Make me. Now, there are some things you need to know about this boy. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell us the name of the father. Don't tell us the name of these two boys or this boy. We don't know their names. But the names are all of us in here because we all know what we were like and what our children are like. So all of us named Judy, Mary, John, Harry, Bob, Karen, Abadu, whatever you want to call. All of us know what I'm talking about. These names can touch us all. They can touch us all. He moved. The boy demanded his inheritance money. He didn't work for it. And then he did three things that I thought was striking when I read God's word, preparing to come here to tell you about. He did three things. The first thing he did, you know what he did? He walked away, Lynn. He walked away. Verse 13 says that he gathered all his things and he took his journey. He walked away from the father's house. A lot of folks are doing that today. We've walked away from God. He gathered together all and he took his journey. He took his journey. There wasn't no Greyhound buses, so he had to walk. He walked. He just didn't go down the street to live. He didn't go to another home in the city to live. The Bible says he went to another country. Why did he go to another country? You know why? No one will know what he was doing. Nobody knows me in another country. No one can see what I'm doing in another country, in a far country. No one can tell me what to do because I'm on my own. I'm on my own. Not only did he walk away, but he did something else. Number two, he walked away and then he went astray. When you walk away from God, you're going to go astray. He walked away and he went astray. I like that. That rhymes. He went astray. How did he go astray? It says in verse 13, he went to a far country, wasted his money on riotous living. He went astray. You know the song we sing? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. strong to leave the God of love. That song we sing. Prone to leave. We are prone to leave the God that we love. He went astray. That boy lived away and went astray. He got into gambling. He did drugs. He took care of the nightclub scene. I'm sure he knew how to sing. Baby love, I need your love. Oh, I need your love. All you do is treat me bad. Break my heart and leave me sad. Baby love, you know the song. Sin always takes us to baby love. Sin takes you where you don't want to go. Sin takes you where you don't want to go. And sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will, yes. Someone has well said this, don't give the devil a ride. Don't give the devil a ride. Because if you give him a ride, he'll want to drive. Don't give the devil a ride. You can't let the devil get in your car. Because when he gets in his car, he's going to want to drive. And he's going to take you where you don't want to go. And he's going to take you farther than you want to go. Don't give the devil a ride. This boy, let the devil get into him. When you go out and leave the Father, when you leave God the Father, see, there's security in being saved. This morning, I'm the living witness. I'm secure. I'm old enough now to tell you, I'm on my way out. If you're 70, you're on your way out. And I don't have any reason to lie to you. There's security in being under the canopy of God. You've got salvation. There's security there. Amen. Don't give the devil a ride. But not only did he walk away, Lynn, not only did he go astray, but the Bible tells us he wasted assets. He wasted assets. Look at verse 13. It says in verse 13, he wasted his substance with riders. Look at the text. That's why you ought to always bring your Bible, the Word of God. Let the Word of God hit you. He wasted. A lot of children are wasting their time and wasting their substance. This boy wasted his assets, all of his money, on good times. I will never forget when I went into the Air Force back in 1967 when I went in and I moved out of Mama's house. I wasn't under her tutelage anymore. And I got to my first duty station over in England. And now I didn't have to get up in the morning and go to church anymore. And I found out that when Sunday came, I'm on my own now because I'm a young grown airman. And I felt strange not being in God's house on Sunday. And you know what happened after a couple of Sundays? I started going to church on the base. I felt out of place. Because something was within me that I couldn't explain. God was working on me then. Hey, something within me. What makes me do what I do? I can't explain it. Something within me. This boy, he wasted his money on drugs, and he probably played the lottery. Ding-a-ding, chicka-ching. He hung out at the casinos on Victory Boulevard, probably. Chicka-ching, chicka-ching. Played blackjack and played the slot machines. Chicka-ching and played poker and partied all night. You know the story. We've all been out there, but the trouble is, we've all been out there, but you ought to come in. There's a time when you got to come in. When you got to come in, you got to come in. Yes, sir. There's a time when you come in. Yes, I used to be out there, but I came in. Have you come in yet? God says you got to come in. You got to come in. This boy, he had riotous living. The Bible said riotous living, parties, a good time. He had friends called Jack. He had friends called Jim. He had friends called Johnny. They all his friends begin with the letter J. J for Jack. Jack Daniels. He had friends for J. He knew Jim. Jim Beam. I hear you. You, somebody know him. He had friends named Johnny. I hear you. Somebody know him. You've been there. You know you got Johnny Walker. He knew red and blue. He had those friends. But he didn't have the one J that he needed. He didn't have the J that he needed. And that was the J who? Jesus. That's the J he needed. What a friend we have when we got Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to my friend Jesus in prayer. That's right. Oh, what grief we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to our friend in prayer. He knew Johnny. He knew Jack. He knew Jim, but he didn't know Jesus. When he had spent, the Bible says when he spent, verse 14, he spent all that he had. A famine arose in the far country. I thank God the Father sent that famine. A famine is when there's a shortage of food. God will send sometimes to bring you in. He'll send trouble in your life. Trouble in your life. Trouble in your life. He'll send trouble in your life in order to bring you in, to bring you back to him. He'll send trouble in your life. He sent trouble in this boy's life. Because the money ran out, Lynn, and the food ran out, and the shelter where to live ran out. Nowhere to, no money to spend, no food to eat, no shelter. You see what rebellious living will get you when you leave the God Father? You see what a reckless life will eat? And then here it comes, reality sets in. Roman number 3, reality sets in. The reality of the Son. It says in verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He became a citizen of that far country so that he could get a job. And they gave him a job. They sent him out to the field to feed swine. That's pigs. The boy now is in the pig pen, nowhere to live, no money, feeding hogs. Feeding hogs. Reality now is in your life. Sometimes you've got to go down before you can come up. And I believe that God is in our lives, and sometimes God lets you go down so that you'll go down and then you'll remember him to bring you back up. You got to go down. I know what I'm talking about. Jonah was sent to Nineveh. And Jonah went to Tarshish. You don't know your Bible. The Bible says he went down to Tarshish. Then the Bible tells us Jonah not only went down to Tarshish, but then he went down into a boat. And then it says that Jonah not only went down in a boat, but then God let him go down into the sea. Then he went down in the sea, then he went down in the fish's belly. He went down, 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 down. And when you find old Jonah, he was in the fish's belly like this. You got to go down before you can come up. This boy was hungry. He was hungry. He was homeless. He was hard-headed. You ever seen a hard-headed child? You got him. Hard-headed children. And he was hell-bound. He was hell-bound. But God was still working with him. God will sometimes allow trouble to come, trouble to your life. Sometimes the best thing we can do for hard-headed children is to do nothing. Let them see for themselves. That's right. Sometimes when you've done all you could do with a hard-headed child, you just let him go on, and he got to fall. You got to let him fall. Let him fall. Let her fall. Let him fall down. Then he'll fall down, and he's down there, and he says, I'm in a bad fix. I left home. Sometimes you got to let children go down before they can come up. Sometimes it takes tough times in your life and my life before we can see what God wants us to do with our lives. Before we come. Sometimes tough times will help bring all of us to our senses. That's right. You say, well, Pastor Addison, what brought this boy to his senses? I'll tell you what brought him to his senses. You read that verse carefully. It says he found a job in the fields. And then it says he found and he fed pigs to eat food. So he's in the fields, and for a Jew to be in a pig pen is going down, because Jews don't eat pork. For a Jew to be working with pigs and pork chops and chitlins and hog jaws, because Jews don't eat pork. It is forbidden according to Mosaic law. So he was really down. Down. He went down to the pig slop. Pig slop. Sin against the Father God. Talking to adults too. Sin against God. God said you ought to be saved first. Sin against God, and you run away from God, and you haven't made a decision for Jesus Christ. Then you're sinning against God, and you're disobedient. And disobedience towards God will take you places you don't want to go. Where? Disobedience to God and sin. Sin is the Greek word sin is hamartia. And it means, sin means to trespass against God's word. Sin will take you places you don't want to go. Well, what place will sin take me where I don't want to go? Sin will sometimes take you, it will take you to the jailhouse. That's right. Sin will take you to the jailhouse. Sin will take you to the divorce court. Didn't want to get a divorce. Didn't want to go to jail. Sin will do that. Take you places where you don't want to go. Sin will take you to a hospital bed. Hospital bed. God trying to get your attention. Let you go to jail. Let you get a divorce. Let you have trouble in your marriage. Hospital bed. When you're sick, you're lying there in that hospital bed like Hezekiah. You know what happened to Hezekiah? Found himself sick, didn't he? Hezekiah found himself sick, and he turned over in that hospital bed and prayed and said, Lord, if you just would hear my prayer. God heard Hezekiah's prayer, didn't he? And gave him how many more years? 15 more years, didn't he? God will hear your prayer. God sent the prophet by there and says, God has heard your prayer. I'm going to give you 50 more, get him up out of the hospital bed. Sin will take you to the hospital, God trying to get your attention. Divorce, jail, getting your attention. Finally, sin will carry you to the funeral house. That's right. Sometimes God can't get your attention, then he just takes you out of here. Takes you out of here. That's right. I love to read verse 20 of this text. I'm going to read some of it. Verse 20. The Bible says in verse 20, and I love this. This is the pivot of this. It says, and when this boy came to himself, he's in the pig pen now, feeding hogs, but he said he came to himself. You know what that word, when it says he came to himself? He came to his senses. I've been down, now I've lost, I don't have no money, I don't have no clothes, I don't have nowhere to live, I'm down and out. And the Bible says he came to himself. That means he came to his senses. Came to his senses. A lot of you need to come to your senses. Thank God I came to my senses one day. I came to my senses and I believe that this is the word of God and this is the answer. This is the answer. And then you know what? When he came to himself, the Bible says in verse 20, he started talking to himself. Huh? He came to himself. He came to his senses, and then he began to talk to himself. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret. I talk to myself all the time. I go up the car, I talk to myself. Neighbor caught me talking to myself. I was getting out of the car, and something I was talking to myself about, I talk to myself. Now, I'm not crazy, but I talk to myself. Talk to myself. I get into my car, and I say, Lord, now I'm going here, and I don't know where. What's going to happen when I'm asking for your protection? When I leave this house and where I'm going to Williamsburg and when I come back and I ask for your protection, I don't care whether you like it or not. I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking on the cell phone. I'm talking to the phone, the God. For his safe traveling mercies. And I'm talking to myself. This boy began to talk to himself. And you know what he said in verse 20? He says, how many, wait a minute, when I come to us, how many hired servants my father has? He's got bread to spare, food, money, and here I am perishing with hunger. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and go back to, look, my father. That word my is a possessive pronoun. That means, he says, he's my father. You know what God the Father is to me? He's my father. He's my father. I belong to him, and he belongs to me, and I have trusted him as my Savior. And now God and Bob Addison have a relationship, and I am God's property. Now he's going to keep me here preaching until that's enough, and then I'm going to go home with him. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear me? I'm going to go home to him, and I'm not even worried about it. Because when you in his will, he'll take care of you. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a possessive pronoun. I shall not want for anything. He makes me, he does. Who is he? The Lord. He makes me to lie down. When I don't want to lay down, he makes me lie down by green pastures. Then he restores my soul. Yes, he does. I don't have to worry about it. This boy said, I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. He says, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, to his father, notice the pronouns, his father, my father. But when he was a great ways off, look at this. So now we see a son, a boy, who left home rebellious, and he's coming home remorseful. You didn't hear what I just said. He left home rebellious, but he's coming back home remorseful. He left home hostile. Give me what's mine. He's coming back home humble with his head down like this. He was a bad child when he left home, and he's coming back home to a good, loving father. What a picture this morning of all of us. We're living in God's world. We're living in God's world, and in God's world, some of us have out in God's world, but we haven't committed, made a decision. We need to make a decision. The boy went down so low he started to talk to himself. Now I want you to notice these three things. You got a rebellious boy, falling on hard times, resorted to unclean work, recognized his need, and remembered his father. That brings me to number four. Number four is the resolution. The resolution of the son. That word resolution means the resolve. What did he resolve to do? Resolve to do. He came to the reality that he was in a bad shape. But what did he resolve to do? The word resolute means resolve or resolution. Resolution means to come to a decision about something. This boy came to a decision that he was in a bad place. He came to a decision. A lot of you here this morning need to be resolved. You need to come to a decision. Either I'm going to believe this book and I'm going to be saved, and if I'm not saved, I'm not going to leave this room this morning. I'm going to make a decision for Jesus Christ this morning. Resolve. This boy, this is what this parable is. It's telling us that you need to make a decision. The bad child hit rock bottom in the streets of life, but he finally makes a resolution, a decision. I'm tired of eating pig feet and chitlins, and I'm going to make a decision to go back home to my father. God is standing right now this morning here. You can't see him because he's invisible, but he's here. And he says, some of you need to come to the father. And you know what? The boy did three things that we all ought to remember in this resolution. He made a decision in verse 18. Look at verse 18. He made a decision, a resolution. He said, I will arise and go to my father. That's a decision. That's a resolution. Change does not occur until you make a decision. You didn't hear what I just said. Change don't come in your life until you're ready to make a decision. Change does not happen by accident. Accidents. Change don't happen by accident. You've got to make a decision. You got to make a decision. I'm going to come to Jesus Christ. That if I'm not sure that I'm saved, I'm going to make a decision to be sure. Sure. Some of us think you're smarter than God. Not only did this boy make a decision, but he also, Lynn, he made a declaration. He made a declaration. A decision, a declaration. The declaration is in verse 18. He says, I have sinned. You know what's wrong today in the world? Nobody thinks they're a sinner. We don't call me a sinner. God says all of us are sinners. I'm a sinner. The only difference in me, I don't know about you, I'm a sinner that's been saved by grace. Oh, that's the difference in me and you. I'm a no good, dirty, rotten sinner. If you really knew how I really was, you wouldn't speak to me. But wait a minute, don't you put your halo on yet. If I knew how bad some of you all were and have been, I wouldn't talk to you. We all are in this together. Thank God for the grace of God. By grace are you saved. I'm not talking about grace of woman. I'm talking about the grace of God. By grace are you saved. Through what? Faith. Faith is the channel for God's grace. And grace is God's unmerited favor that he bestows upon you the moment that you make a decision to be saved or to trust him as your savior. And then you make a declaration like this boy is. He made a declaration, I have sinned. Anybody here don't think you're a sinner? Anybody here don't think you're a sinner? You got to say to yourself, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. He declared it. This boy said, it wasn't my parents' fault that I left home. It wasn't my daddy's fault that I left home and went to a far country. He declared it wasn't somebody else's fault. You know, today everybody blames somebody else for their misfortune. It's somebody else's fault. I wouldn't be in this situation if it wasn't my dad or my mama. You in that situation because that's your decision. You're hard-headed. Somebody else's fault. He declared, he said in verse 18, it's my fault. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me. Nobody else's fault but me. Not my mama, not my daddy, but it's me, oh Lord. I'm the one. This boy says, I'm the one that left home, but I'm going back home to my father. Are you going to come to the father this morning? He desired to be a servant. He came back. Look what he said. He made a decision. He made a declaration, and then he made a desire. He had a desire. What was the desire? He said, verse 19, I am no more worthy to be called a what? A son. He told his father, I'm not worthy anymore to be called a son. What I did to you, he says, make me a servant. Not a son, but a servant. He desired to be a child of God rather than a child of Satan. Well, that brings me to my last aura, the reception. The reception, there it is, the reception. Verse 20, the word reception means, how did God the Father receive the boy when he came back from a far country? It says in verse 20, and he arose and came to the father. But when his father saw him, way down on I-64. The father was looking down I-64, and he saw him way off. The Bible says his father saw him, and with compassion. That word compassion means to have a love for somebody else. His father saw him and ran. The father didn't walk. The Bible says he ran, and the Bible says he fell on that boy's neck and kissed him. And if you, in the Greek language, the New Testament was written in Greek, Koine Greek, and it says he fell on his neck, meaning that he kissed him more than once. Love that boy. Notice the reception of that father, what he gave that boy when he returned. He received him with compassion, not anger. Not anger, what? Look what you did. You took my money and you went there. We can't do it that way when a child comes home. You know, you ain't never been no good. You're just like your daddy. He won't no good and you're no good. You know, you're just like your mama. You never did yet. You can't do that. You got to help. You got to love that child when they come back because he's already broken. He didn't got saved. He didn't got committed, saved out there in trouble. And I'm coming home. I had to come home. You need to come home, or you had to come home. He came home, and the father received him. The father ran to greet him. That's what it says in verse 20. The father ran. The father recognized him, ran to greet him, recognized him, and then the father rejoiced. You know what it says in Luke 15:10? You all missed verse 10 of chapter 15. In Luke 15:10, it says, there is joy, rejoicing in the presence of angel over one sinner that repents. What do you mean, repent? Repent means, the Greek word for repent means is the word metanoia. It means to change your mind about what you, the way you're going. That I was going left in sin with Satan. Now I'm going right with Savior Jesus. You, it's not a change of mind, but repentance is a change of mind and a change of direction. I was going this way, but now when I come to Jesus, I'm now going this way. And the thing I used to do, don't want to do them no more. Don't want to do them no more, no more, no more, no more. No more. What a picture this parable gives us of a loving God, our Father, who died on the cross for our sins. Died on the cross for our sins and saves us when we come to him by faith. And I can hear that boy as he's walking down Interstate 64. And you know what that boy is saying? I came to Jesus the Father as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me what? Glad. The Father didn't make me sad. The Father didn't make me mad. The Father made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down your weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he'll make you glad this morning. He'll make you glad. Won't you come to him? Let us pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you this morning for your word.